Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May the Lord bless the public reading of his holy word. Lord's messenger today is Pastor Howren.
Good morning. If you have been away last week, or if it's the first time you have stepped into our church, we want you to know that we are into a special series in the month of December. It's going to be a lineup of 7 sermons on the blessed message of Christmas. Last week, we heard from Brother Vernon about a message taken from the book of John in chapter 4 regarding this Samaritan woman who encountered Jesus personally. And she not just heard from him, but she experienced him and what he could do. And her heart rejoiced, and she went and tell others. That was the good news to the Samaritan woman. This week, we are going to consider the good news to the wise. And next week, Brother Tzu Wen will take us to see what this good news meant to the poor. So let's pray before we begin. Father, you are gracious and you love us and you're patient with us. And because of your great patience and your deep love for us, we have opportunity upon opportunity to learn about our Lord Jesus. So God, quieten our hearts and our minds and help us to treasure and value this time you're giving us. Because we know you're with us, you're speaking to us. So teach us to hear from you loud and clear. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is good news in general? We know, of course, that good news is relative. What is interesting to you, what is meaningful to you, may be not interesting to another person, or it may not be relevant at all. If you are a fan of NBA, the National Basketball Association in the United States, you will be familiar with what's happening right now in this current series, which has just started not too long ago. The Los Angeles Lakers, which is my favorite team, is in a Western Conference. There are a total of 15 other teams. And right now, LA Lakers, they are called, is on top of the chart. In other words, they are the leading team in the Western Conference or the West region of the United States. This is my favorite team since the early 80s. And if you do not know, they have won 16 championships out of 72. They have a good track record just behind Boston Celtics. Now, in the last 6 years, they have not done well. This year, they are climbing up. And for this, for me at least, it is good news. I'd like you to meet Eunice on the left. Eunice is right now a worker in Vietnam, a church in Vietnam. She grew up in a family with a difficult background. Her father was a drug addict. For the last 14 years, her father had been in and out of drug rehab centers with no improvement. And then one fine day, her father came back and said, "I've met Jesus, and I'm getting better." But Eunice was skeptical. After 14 years, she was skeptical. But as the day passed, the weeks passed, the months passed, after 1 year, it was without doubt that her father had recovered. The Lord Jesus healed him. That's certainly big and news and good news to Eunice, her family. And not just that, if you are familiar with Vietnam, in villages and communities, it is good news to the relatives, it is good news to the community, and more so, it can be good news to the nation. So good news can be in this manner. It can start small, but it can grow big. It can be a good news to a large community, a nation, and a series of nations. And you know something? That's a good news that's evergreen. The good news for all nations, which is what we want to talk about today. This is the good news for all nations, and it is always ongoing, forever green. We want to investigate what happened, the birth of Jesus, and how it affected Herod, because there are largely two main group of people in this passage we're considering this morning, Herod the king and the wise man. So let's talk about Herod first. We need to understand where it all began. This is the ancient Roman Empire, the area that is in brown. You will notice that it is circulating, or it is all around the Mediterranean Sea. Now, it all began in Judea, in this country. This is where Jesus will be born. And we are talking about the wise man who came from the east. And it is very likely that the wise men were not part of the Roman Empire. They were outside the Roman Empire. Now in the first verse, we hear and we are told that that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Jerusalem. And Herod the king was reigning during that time. Now Matthew is trying to tell us something here, and we need to pay attention about this person Herod. Who was he? Who was Herod? Now, Herod was from another part of southern Judah. Incidentally, Judah is referred to as Judea in the Bible version, in case you didn't notice. Okay, the reason is this. When the Greek and the Romans took over, they adapted the name Judah into Judea. So in the context where King Herod was, and in our Bible, we'll see that the word or the nation is referred to as Judea. Now, Herod came from southern Judea, or the southern parts of Judea. It is where the Edomites were. Some versions will tell us that this place is also known as Edomia. Or, in other words, Herod was an Edomian. Now, Herod found favor with the Romans. Therefore, they appointed him as king of the Judah nation. But Judah was still under the control of the Roman Empire. Now, King Herod is what we call a vassal, or what we call a vassal of Rome. In other words, he was a subject, and he has the responsibility to take care of the interests of the Roman Empire. What was Herod like? He was known to be a very insecure person. a paranoid even. You know what he did? He even murdered his own sons too and his wife because he suspected her of committing adultery. So he was always insecure, was always trying to protect his position. Now in that regard, let's see what was happening then in that context. Judah at that point in time was an agricultural economy. 90% of the people had to work the fields and they were taxed heavily. So life was very difficult for them. The king, Herod himself, and his friends, the nobility, 10% of them enjoyed life. They had a lavish lifestyle. So they had to deal with this situation. The people in Israel had to deal with this difficult situation. Now, when things are difficult, when the economy is not doing well, when you are taxed heavily, you are suffering, you are poor, what happens? After some time, there will be struggles. There will be political uprisings, just as we are experiencing today, here in Hong Kong and also in different nations around the Middle East. So there was uprisings. Yet the people of Judah knew that they had hope. What was this hope? This hope came from the Old Testament. This hope tells them, and the prophecy tells them, that there is going to be a Messiah, the coming king. Matthew quoted from Old Testament, and in verse 6 we read this, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Let's go back to Herod the king. Now, he heard that there were visitors in Jerusalem inquiring about a baby, because this wise man, so to speak, came from the east because they followed a star that appeared to them. Now, when Herod heard this, he was troubled. And Matthew tells us that not only was he troubled, the whole of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Why? Herod was the king of the Jews. If someone came to him and said, "Look, there's going to be a king of the Jews being born," how would he have felt? Being insecure, being a paranoid, he was deeply troubled. And why were the rest of Jerusalem troubled with him? Let's consider the nobility. What's going to happen to the 10% nobility if the king then at that point is deposed? They will also suffer. So they were troubled, the nobility. What about the common people? The common people were also troubled because they know that they are going to suffer. If King Herod is going to be troubled and he is going to take action, the ordinary people will suffer. So the people were not sorry that King Herod is going to be replaced. No, they were troubled because they know that Herod will employ cruel tactics to suppress whoever is going to take over him. So that was what took place during that time. What did Herod do? He called the scribes, the chief priests, and he asked them, "Hey, is this true? Is there really going to be a baby born king of the Jews?" Well, the scribes and the priests searched the scripture and said, "Yes, it is true. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea." Well, Herod was obviously cunning. He hatched a plan. What did he do? He called in the visitors from the west, from the east, the wise men. Talked to them, and he said, "Okay, can you please go? Find out where this king of the Jews, the baby that's going to be born, or has already been born, find out where he is, tell me, and I want to go and worship him. Bring me word." Well, the wise men stepped out, saw the star again, and they were very happy. They rejoiced and they followed the star. And they came to the place where the child was born. What did Matthew say? Matthew said they went into a house and they saw the child with Mary. we want to take note of this little detail here. It was a house, not the manger. This is important because very often we look at pictures shown to us, it's depicted as the wise men worshipping a baby in a manger. That is not true. What has happened is that a period of time has already went past. Let's remember that in those days there were no airplanes. It was a place in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, all the way to the east in Babylonia and beyond today. So it was a long distance. Traveling distance took a long time. Modes of travel were different. So a good 2 years had passed, it was estimated. So, well, they went into the house, the wise men, they saw the child with Mary, and they worshipped the child. And what did they do? They presented the child with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is because of these three gifts mentioned in the Bible that many people thought that there were three wise men. That is not true also. That is not true. It was probably a group of wise men traveling with their companions. Now, do you know what this expensive gifts was or came about after that? You know, God had planned for the family. Through these expensive gifts presented by the wise men, we are told in verse 13 that later on the family were instructed by the angel to flee to Egypt. So the money, the gifts provided the needed expense, the amount for the family to flee to Egypt. Meanwhile, what happened to the wise men? They were warned in the dream not to return to Herod, and they departed back to their own country through another way. Now, King Herod would have found out what happened. And when he realized that he was tricked, what did he do? The paranoid Herod went into a frenzy and ordered that all male children below the 2 years of age be murdered, be killed. He committed murder. He killed all infants and toddlers, male, below the age of 2. There was suffering, there was sorrow going on for the Jews in that region, in that country. So what do we learn and what do we see for Herod? Now, Herod, as far as Herod is concerned, the birth of Christ was not good news to him. The birth of Christ was not good news to him. But bear in mind one thing. Herod believed that Jesus was born. He believed that Jesus was born, but he did not believe what Jesus could do for him. So what happened to Herod? Herod died a spiritually dead person. Let's consider now the good news to the wise. The wise saw the star where they were in the east. And in those days, who were the wise? In ancient times, the wise were considered to be priests, to be experts in mysteries. They were astrologers, dream interpreters, students of sacred writings, wisdom seekers, and magicians. We read that in verse 2, that the wise men saw the star and they came to Jerusalem. Now, we ask ourselves, what was Matthew thinking at that point in time? As far as Matthew is concerned, we believe that it is not because that these were astrologers, they were able to interpret dreams, read through sacred writings and so on. It's not because of all this that Matthew called them wise. Matthew called them wise because Matthew knew they believed in Scripture. They believed that there was a Christ to be born. Of course, they were learned people. So Matthew saw them wise in this regard. Okay, we need to ask ourselves this question. How did the man from the east come to know about Scripture? Now, it is no big secret because history tells us that in the 6th and 7th century BC, before that, when Israel or the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were conquered over time. People of that country, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, were exiled all the way to the east, to Assyria and also to Babylon and beyond. So people from Israel had gone to these places, to the east, and with them were also the priests, the scribes, who were able to interpret and teach the scripture. So can you imagine, generation after generation, the law of Moses was taught by this the priests and the scribes, and because of that, people who were exiled to the east continue in their understanding, and they interacted with the local people. So the wise men must have interacted with the descendants of the Jews, and they learned this prophecy. And that is why they believe. Now, they saw the star, and when they saw the star, probably this prophecy came to their mind, and it was in Numbers 24:17. What does it say? A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. The wise men believe this. So they came to Jerusalem, they followed the star, they went to the house, they entered and they worshipped Jesus without hesitation. They believe. They not only believe in the birth, they believe in who Jesus was. Today, he still is our Savior, our Lord. What does the Bible say about the wise? King Solomon was the wisest man on earth before Jesus. But what did he say? He says that in chapter 9, verse 10, Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can see that obviously the wise men fear God. Jesus himself told a parable. Parable that we are familiar with. It's about a wise man listening to him, or a man listening to him, and then building his house upon a rock instead of upon sand. And he explained why the rock, why the sand, it must be a sure foundation. For us today, back here where we are, we know how to make use of the funds that God gives us. We want to invest in something worthwhile. So what is the best investment? To many of us individually, the best investment is to build a home. And what do we need to do when we build a home? We build it on good foundation. In Singapore, we don't have to worry about it because buildings are built well. But if you travel to countries that are developing, you know that foundations are not solid. We hear of collapses of buildings all over the world, even in some developed countries, because it was built in poor building standards. So building on a sure foundation is important, and Jesus teaches that. But what is the main point? The main point is that not only does a man listen to Jesus, the man obeys his commands. So we see two things here. Wise men, first, fear God. Secondly, obey command. We note something interesting also in this passage. Now, if we are thinking that this passage just applies to Jews, well, be comforted, be assured, it does not just apply to the Jews. We know by definition that Israel in ethnicity is defined as the nation of God. Okay, that is Israel. And Jesus was born king of the Jews, so king of Israel. But you know something? Old prophecy also tells us that Jesus is born king of the Gentiles. Where do we know this? It's in Micah 5:4. Micah went on to tell us that he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Jesus will not just be great in Israel, king of the Jews, but he will be king of the whole world, king of the Gentiles. So we are comforted. We know that Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, our King. There's no doubt about it. Scripture has many parts that say this. So this is the good news. This is the good news that we are proclaiming this whole month here at Zion Bishan. This Sunday is the second week. We are going to hear 5 more times. Next week we'll hear from Brother Tzu Wen. And remember, he will be speaking from Luke chapter 4. So, this is something that we must remember. We must take home with us today. That Jesus is definitely the good news. He is definitely the good news. And the wise are those who believe in Him. Believe that He is the Savior. Not just believe in His birth, but believe that He can do more than anything else. He's a Savior. So, let's ask ourselves, is it good news to you and me? Is it good news to us? Well, as things goes, before we hear good news, we must first hear the bad news. What are the bad news? The prophet Isaiah tells us that our sins have separated us from God. That's the first thing we must know. We are born sinful. No one here amongst us can say we are sinless. No one. We are sinful people. We are born in sin. No one is sinless. We are separated from God. What other good news or bad news do we have? Well, Isaiah went on to say that our righteous deeds, our good works, we try to do good, do better things, serve others. But Isaiah reminded us and pointed out to us that our righteous deeds are like polluted garments, filthy rags. It means nothing to God if our hearts are not right. All of us think we are good people, don't we? But the Apostle Paul was very blunt. He tells us in Romans chapter 3 that none is righteous. No, no one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. And he went on to tell us, all have sinned and far short of the glory of God. Obvious. And what's the consequence? The penalty of sin is death. All of us were unbelievers before, or most of us, because many would have come from Christian families. But many of us have gone through what it meant not to be a believer, not knowing Jesus. We were once living like the passions of our flesh, and we were children of wrath. We know all this. I mean, we have heard this before. Today is a summary of all this truth that confronts us. Are we convicted? Are you convicted? If you have not heard before, are you convicted? Well, the good news is this. This is the part where we're waiting for, the good news. So what's the good news? The prophet tells us in Isaiah, he himself said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That is the good news that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied. Let's skip to New Testament. Jesus himself, when he began his ministry, he went from place to place, north, south, travel up, down, east, west, synagogue to synagogue. At one particular synagogue, he was there and he took out the scrolls and he read from Isaiah chapter 61, what we read earlier. Some words were changed here and there, but the essence is still the same. It is good news to the poor. He was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Imagine Jesus standing there, he read the scroll, and then what did he do? He sat down, folded the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and all eyes were fixed on him. And what did Jesus say? Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What did he mean? He just said, I am the one. I am the good news. It is me. I'm the Savior. I can help you. Don't worry. That was what he meant. So that's the good news. The blessed good news that all of us know, we should always remember. And if you don't know, now you know. Jesus brings hope. Let's go back and think about the wise men. They saw the star, they remember the prophecy because they heard it from the Jews who were exiled there. They believed and they wanted to see Jesus for themselves. So they sought Jesus, they found Jesus, and they worshiped him. Back again to us. What about you? What about you? Jesus will definitely respond when we go to him. He will do more than forgive, because we need to ask for forgiveness first, because we are sinners. He will love, he will comfort, he will heal, and he will strengthen. He will restore, he will provide, he will counsel, and he will protect. That is love. You see all this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4-7. It's all there, and Jesus practiced it. Jesus will do all this and he will do more. So are you hurting this morning? Come to Jesus. Are you feeling trapped in a web of circumstances that you cannot run away? Come to Jesus. Are you in chronic pain and feeling miserable? Are you separated from someone you love? Are you feeling lonely? Do you feel like a failure? Are you angry? Do you have fear in your heart? Do you resist him? Do you resist him? Come to Jesus. He will receive you. He will answer you. He will embrace you. He will walk with you. He will lead you and he will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. This is Jesus. He is the good news. The good news of his love and forgiveness. So let's sum up. There are basically 3 points or 3 groups of people that we need to take note of. 1, people like Herod. Again, what happened to him? He believed because he was fearful, insecure, paranoid. Yeah, he believed that there's going to be a king of the Jews born again. The threaten will take over him. But he did not believe what Jesus could do for him. He perished. He died a spiritually dead person. But he will meet Jesus again, but with very negative reasons. The second group will be the wise men. The wise men too believe in him, in the scripture, in prophecy, but they believe more than that. They believe that he is the Savior, the Messiah, one who could deliver them, one who can give them life. They knew their own condition. So they went to him, they sought him, they found him, they worshipped him, they now entered eternal life. The third group is you and I. Have we believed the good news? Or are we just being superficial, taking it for granted, passing it week by week, coming to church, sitting here? I hope not. Let's be serious about the good news, the Messiah. And for those who do not know, first time you are hearing, come to Jesus, be wise, and go to him. Let's pray. Father, you certainly know our hearts. How can we compare with anyone whom, Lord, you love and you appoint as messengers of yours, the prophets, and especially our Lord Jesus Christ, your only Son, the begotten Son and Savior. We are certainly not wise. We may think that we are wise by worldly standards, but we are certainly not wise in godliness. We need to grow in the wisdom of godliness. And Father, you are merciful. You have taught us clearly and simply what to be a wise person is to fear you first and to believe in the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to hear, and not just to hear, and to believe and to obey. That is all you ask from us. And the rest will fall into place. We will seek to change. And the Spirit helps us to change. For the Spirit sanctifies us. So, Father, thank you so much for this good news. It is really good news. We thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.